song. It's a really special song for me because it's the first song I ever did. At least 2.5 years ago, right here is the first time I ever did it.
Bless the Lord.
All right, peace in the valley.
Amen.
Amen. Thank God there's peace in the valley. But I must go on till the Lord comes and comes. Call me away.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Well, the morning's so bright and the lamp is alive.
Yes.
And the night is as black as the sea.
Bring it, brother.
Oh, yeah. There will be peace in the
Lord.
For me.
Woo!
Lord. Yes.
Heaven.
There will be peace in the valley.
Let's Meet by the River. And so I'm doing it for Joanne, I'm doing it for Sharon,
yeah.
And I'm doing it for Bonnie, and I'm doing it for Brenda. She's not here today, but I know in spirit she knows that I'm going to do it for her.
Right.
Let's Meet by the River.
Amen.
I've heard of a city just all coming down.
Amen.
I'm not.
Jesus. Sit down, sister. Good job, our sister Carolyn. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Good job. That old man. Thank God for songs like that. I did a funeral yesterday, and I'll just tell you right now, they didn't play that song at that funeral. But they should.
All right, Sharon, this is for you.
Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord.
Oh, Amen. Good job, Brother Danny. Thank the devil has left the county. Amen. I don't know how he can handle that kind of praise. I appreciate those songs. I don't want to forget that this ain't my home. I don't want to forget I'm leaving one day. I've never flown in my life. I got tickets for a first class trip.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to leaving.
Amen.
I thought yesterday. What you got, brother?
Oh, I'm just putting these numbers up.
I thought yesterday about a song that I'd like to get Brother Danny to sing. And I forgot it. I was a little discouraged because he was doing such a good job singing. I thought, Lord, what was that song? And I remembered it after he sung, and now I know which one it is.
Hey.
I hadn't heard it in a long time, but I still remember the song.
Beautiful song.
I won't have to cross Jordan.
That's right.
You learned that song, brother. Work on that.
Hey,
man, I like good spiritual songs. I'm spiritual. I can't sing a lick. But I can shout with the best of them. Amen. That fills my cup. Man, I like that kind of singing. Amen. Spiritual song. Making melody in our heart. I like that melody. I like that music. I like that kind of singing. I like that kind of shouting. Amen. Man, I can bear witness to the words of those songs. Meet by the river. Tell us where we're going to meet at.
That's right.
Amen.
Come be a meeting.
Yeah.
I don't want to miss the meeting.
That's right.
Man, I believe I've got more family up there than I got down here.
That's right.
I'm more positive. I know I'm the last Mohican of my family.
Right.
But I got a lot of family that's up there.
Amen.
That's one I haven't seen for a long time. I still remember my grandmother standing up in the nursing home. I was trying to preach over there and she stood up with white hair on her head. She said, I feel 10 feet tall today and I just want to thank the Lord. And I'll get to meet her by the river.
That's right. Yes, you will.
Praise the Lord. We'll make sweet acquaintance.
That's right.
I got a little girl up there, Miranda. She lives 17 in 1 week. I can't wait to see what a difference happens. She was an angel down here. We ain't got no choice in the matter.
No, we don't.
We just like everybody else. We bury our dead the best we can, but not without hope.
Right, that's right.
And I'm glad, praise God, God gave me some hope.
Yeah,
that's right. My soul, both sure and steadfast. Somebody said, little boy, that finally got one day. And a man woke up and said, what are you doing, boy? He said, I'm flying my kite. He said, I don't see no kite. He said, well, it's because it's way up there. He said, how do you know where you're flying? He said, every now and then I feel a little tug. I like to feel that little tug every now and then.
That's right.
That's why I can't help it. Just shout every now and then.
Amen.
That little tug. Them heartstrings. I'm looking forward to that meeting. Man, there's a lot of verses in the Bible that I really like. But as Brother Danny was singing, how great they are, and I'm sitting there thinking, in Hebrews chapter 6, when God couldn't swear by no greater, He swore by His own name to Abraham that it be so.
Amen.
Now I think about there, the humility of God. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, it said God winks at humanity and commands humanity to repent. Boy, I'm glad He don't send down bolts of lightning. You know, His disciples said, you want us to call down lightning? That's us. God said, no, I don't want you to call down lightning. You don't know what spirit you're of. I love these people. And, you know, they may not all be perfect, but He's got perfect love for them.
That's right.
All right, I'll try to shut up and get with us. We may not ever get out of here today. All right, let's get the Bibles open. I like that good singing. I like that good spirit. Man, everything of God is good.
Amen.
Great.
My wife one time, she said, I burnt that, just eat around it. Eat what's not burned, and I like the burnt better than the other. But everything about God is good. And God is to be praised. And I don't know the world. They just don't like to retain God in their knowledge. They're trying to get rid of Him. I got news for them. They ain't going to get rid of Him. And they ain't going to be able to hide when He shows up. We'll go again to Romans chapter 12. I'm just going to read those first two verses. I think the last time I read more than that. But for sake of time, I'm just going to read Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Paul here addressing the church in Rome. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, and let you know who he's talking to,
yeah,
by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. In other words, that's just normal. That's just a normal Christian should just be a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And this next verse goes with it, but it's kind of contrary to what he just told him to be. And he says, and be not, this is what a Christian shouldn't be,
right,
be not conformed. See, we're in the world, but we're not of the world.
Right.
I need to read this because I'm ready to preach right now, so let me finish this verse. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've given us to gather in your house. We thank you, Father, for the beautiful songs that have just been sung. We thank you, Father, for the beautiful spirit that's here in this service. Well, we're just a little church. And I don't know if there is such a thing. I know there are some bigger than others. But Lord, we're trying to do a great work. And we're asking for your blessing. We're asking for your help. I confess my great need of your help. And I suppose all of us could say that the Lord is our helper. And we won't fear what man can do to us. We're trusting in you. We're following you. We're asking, Lord, for your blessing. We're asking you to help us to be a blessing. And Lord, we'll ask it in Jesus' name. And we'll thank you for whatever you do. Amen.
Amen.
It's good to have Sister Bonnie with us here this morning. It's always a joy to see her. And I worked with her husband and loved him and talked with him a lot. William, and we were good friends.
Yeah.
But as life goes, so do we.
That's right.
Somebody said we're here today and gone tomorrow, and an old black preacher with white hair said sometimes we're here today and gone today. None of us knows what's on the calendar for tomorrow. Like I said, I done a funeral yesterday, and I get no joy out of doing funerals, don't get me wrong. But when asked to do a funeral, I'm a servant. It's not like I've got a choice in the matter. They called me and said, will you please do this funeral Saturday? I said, yes, I will. And it was actually ended up being a blessing. A lot of lost people there. I done the funeral of Josh Thomas. He got killed right up here at Smith's Grove, I think. He hit Josh Jenkins head on,
right,
and I think it killed them both.
Yeah.
But I ended up doing the funeral of Josh Thomas. But his mother, Teresa, she told me, she said, Ed, I'll just tell you beforehand, there's going to be a lot of lost people there. Now don't get me wrong, I'm a preacher. I don't really, I'm just a messenger boy. I don't really have any motive of stepping on nobody's toes. A lot of boats was rocked yesterday. I saw a lot of troubled countenances yesterday. I preach here and I look and it's just calm. I think it's just smooth. I mean, it's well with your soul. You know, you enjoy it, preacher. They didn't enjoy it. And she told me, she said, please don't hold back. I love these people. I want them to get saved. Well, I didn't hold back. And it was pretty rough. And a lot of these, boy, I mean, they were visibly shaking. They couldn't look at me in the eyes. And I just preached a simple message. I preached Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his right. Because I said the first thing you ought to do in life is seek the Lord. Find him. Lay hold on eternal life. Because even the best made plans can be interrupted.
Yes, that's right.
Now everybody that dies, I don't think they had it in their plans to die.
Yeah.
Yet it's on the calendar one day we'll have to deal with that.
Right.
But anyway, I'm going to get off of that and get on this message here. But listen, I preached last Sunday on what kind of Christian is needed. And I told you last Sunday, I gave you fair warning.
Man.
That today I was going to preach on what kind of Christian are you.
Yeah.
Now,
that's right.
There's a lot of Christians, or so-called Christians. The Bible talks about many profess that they know Him, but in works they deny Him. In other words, it just don't add up.
Amen.
And we have those kind of Christians, and you got the other kind, you know, that they love little, and I don't put them down for it. And you got others, they love much. What do you mean, brother Eddie? Well, Jesus asked this question, who will love me the most?
Right.
He's been forgiven of much, or he's been forgiven of little.
Right.
Peter stretched his head about like my ball, I guess, and he said, I suppose he has been forgiven of much. And he said, you judge rightly. Well, I don't put nobody down for loving the Lord a little. I don't put nobody down for loving the Lord much.
Right.
But listen, let's be careful that our love doesn't wax cold. Let's remember.
That's right.
Let's remember what a price He paid.
That's right.
Let's remember the beating He took.
Yeah.
Let's remember Brother Jerry sung the song, there's power in the blood.
Yeah.
Let's remember He was willing.
Right.
To shed His blood. And without the shedding of blood, there ain't no remission of sins. That's how I got saved. The blood was applied.
That's right.
But you know, Paul, in this just these two verses here, he's talking about remembering. And we need to remember, and we need to act on it.
That's right.
And we need to be the kind of Christian that this world needs us to be. Now, I got saved 31 years ago. I got saved at home in my bedroom. And I'll just be brief here. But truly, when I got saved, heaven came down.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. I mean, I'm like unbelievably just enjoying this moment and savoring this moment when my guilt and my condemnation left and the peace of God that passeth understanding took the place of that condemnation and guilt.
Yeah.
And the joy of being saved was joy unspeakable, and I'm enjoying that. I mean, I'm not kidding. I got my eyes closed, and I just asked the Lord to forgive me. I just asked the Lord to save me, and He did.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying that experience. Somebody said you can't explain it. That might be true. I'll tell you one thing. You can't experience it. I experienced being saved. I like to kind of go through it again. My pastor said, you'll have to go to another church. We don't do that here. And I said, well, I just really like it. I'll say
right.
That. I ain't that old.
Right.
Still casual.
Come on.
But listen, getting back to what I was saying there. When that happened, Brother Angel, I actually expected to open up my eyes being in heaven. I understand I'm just a baby. I just got saved. I don't know nothing. I don't know John 3:16. I don't know nothing. God had to help me get good and lost.
Right.
And then God also had to help me get good and saved. Now I'm good and saved.
Right.
I'm trying to figure out what actually just happened here.
Yeah.
And I expected to open my eyes of being in heaven. I was really disappointed. And you know what I thought when I realized I didn't wake up in heaven, even though I did. I mean, I'm a citizen of heaven now. I kind of feel guilty about voting now, Miranda. I go, my citizenship's heaven. You know, I'm kind of lying there when it says, what's your citizenship? And I put United States of America, but actually, I'm a citizen of heaven. Anyway,
amen.
When I was kind of confused, like, why ain't I in heaven? I thought, kind of childish-like, but I thought, there must be something God wants me to do.
Right.
Now, I just thought that on my own. I don't know how to say it any other way, but I thought, there must be something God wants me to do.
Right.
That's the reason I'm still here.
Because
I knew already, I mean, I've done experience of being saved, and I've done, you know, I've done felt, you know, heaven come down. I mean, I'd kind of like to do it again.
Right.
I mean, I know it can't, but I'd kind of like to. Man, it's wonderful. No wonder the psalmist said in Psalm 34, verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord has never done that.
Amen.
And you know, I've been in the buffet line ever since. I mean, I've been sitting with the Lord and enjoying the things of God. And anyone that wants to can. I mean, somebody said, how much guy can you have? Well, all you want. Let all the world you have. Amen. But we want to kind of hold God in one hand and all his ways, but
yeah.
somehow or another we have to fight that fight, like, which way are we going to go? That's kind of what Paul's saying here about don't be conformed to this
yeah.
world. We're in the world, but we don't fit here no more.
No, we don't.
Man, the world looks on us, and you know, I'm sure out there while I worked there, I worked there 32 years, and I'm sure they thought, well, how long the people, he falls off the wagon.
yeah.
And it's sad, you know, when
that's
Christians
right.
do kind of
yes,
get back conformed to the world. Now listen, I'm not putting them down. I know there's a real devil down here. And I know we've got, like Paul said, I fought a good fight. You got to fight that devil. You got to fight that flesh.
Right.
You got to crucify your will every day to live to God, because this old flesh cries out. It wants to be conquered.
Right.
It wants to be a, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself in this message here, but we want our image. Now, I ain't got no hair, so I give up on that, but you know, I did shave this morning. We want to look right. We want to look presentable.
That's right.
But that Amen. Shouldn't get in the way of our service to God, no matter what you look like, no matter what you feel like,
right.
no matter what the circumstances
right.
are, lift up a holy hand and
yeah.
say, thank you, Lord, for saving an old rich like me, Lord.
That's
God.
Right.
And I'll tell you, whatever now and then I get a little down, but it just makes it even better when I get up. Amen.
Right.
I don't get to go through it for once. I'll tell you what, you can be renewed. You can be restored. I tell you, Peter said, I think in that, brother, while I'm in this tabernacle to stir you up. Oh, I like a good stir. My coffee, I drink it black, but I'll tell you what, if I didn't drink it black, I'd want to stir it up a little bit. But if we're not careful, we'll be the kind of Christian that the world don't need.
That's right.
And if we're not careful, we'll be lovers of ourselves more than lovers of God. 2 Timothy 3, verse 2. Listen, I'm going to tell the truth here. I do love old Eddie Wade. I've had to live with him for 65 years.
Right.
How did you live that long with somebody and not love him a little bit? My granddaughter told me this week, I had a stray dog out there in the barn and it had a litter of puppies. And I made a mistake of telling her about it. She said, can I see them? And that's a, I can see it coming, Jay. I'm done it over my head. Can I go see them, Papa? I said, honey, it's cold. I don't care. I said, it's night. I don't care. So I take her out there and there's eight of them. She said, how many can I have? What do you do? Well, in a predicament that she was very skilled to put me in, I said, one. Which one? I said, any one you want. I'm sitting there thinking, how did I do this? Well, anyway, she did pick out this little freckle one and took it home with her. It's coming back. But only because she couldn't be departed from it. You know how we are. But, you know, that's kind of the way things are. If you're not careful, you'll put yourself in that predicament.
Right.
And if you'll start doing things the world does.
Amen.
It's a sad day. I've been there when people saying, I thought he's a Christian.
Right.
I thought she is a Christian. So it takes years to build a testimony.
That's right.
You know what? It takes about 1 second
to lose
one.
Right. And all the good you do, it's good. But then you slip up and make a mistake. And I've done it. And I'm sure you have too. You make that mistake and they forgot about all of those testimonies, all of those things that you did and said for the glory of God. And they said, you know what? I had a lot of confidence in him. Well, I had a lot of confidence in her. And that's why we need to put the Lord first. He's not only worthy to be first, but he's also jealous. So whatever you put before him, be careful. Amen. But lovers of themselves more than lovers of God. And then down in verse 4, 2 Timothy chapter 3, he says, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, I don't know if you get this or not, but God's not talking about lost people here.
That's right.
He's talking about you and me. We don't need to be conformed to this world. We don't need to be loving ourselves more than God. We don't need to be loving pleasure more than God. Don't get me wrong. I like a good. I grew a lot of some pork chops this week and I ate three of them. It's a good thing I ain't a Muslim. You know what I mean? I bought a pack of pork chops at I think it's a happy, there's probably 15 in there. When I got done grilling and we got done eating, we had 8 pork chops left over. That's got to be the unpardonable sin. Because I ate all I could eat. And 3 was all I could eat. My wife, she said, I'll tell you why you ain't feeling good, because you eat all them pork chops. I said, how many did you eat? She said, 3. I said, well, then I'll rest my case. What's that for you, sir? Amen. I mean, don't put me down for eating 3 when you eat 3 yourself. Yeah. 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 Anyway, I'm going to name about 4 Christians here real quick. I know we all got things to do, but a working Christian, I hope you can say, Brother Eddie, I'm a working Christian.
Yeah.
Now, to bring this point out a little better here, let's go to Matthew chapter 21, and you'll kind of see what I mean by working Christian here. The Lord gives a parable here. And starting in verse 28, in this parable, he says, what think you? He said, a certain man had 2 sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. In verse 29, he answered and said, I will not. But afterwards he repented and went. Likewise, he came to the second, and he answered and said, I go, sir, and went not. Whither of them twain did the will of his father. One said, I won't, and he did. The other one said, I will, and he didn't.
Yeah.
Well, we need to be a working Christian.
That's right.
And we need to work while it's day. I'm telling you, we don't have forever to work.
That's right.
In the vineyard of God.
That's right.
Jesus, talking about Pharisees, he said, they honor me with their lips. They give them lip service. They say, I love the Lord, but it don't add up.
That's right.
I went out of visitation my pastor one time. He's pretty skilled now. Bible says he had one of souls and wives, and we went out by this house. Knocked on this door, and this lady come to the door. Brother Rick said, hey, we out to a little door knock, and we'd like to invite you to church. Now he's pretty slick now. She said, oh, I love the Lord. I go to church. Rick said, that one, where you going? She named this church, and he said, oh yeah, I know where you go. And she said, I live here, pastor. So-and-so preacher. He said, he ain't been there for 3 years. He said, where do you say you go? Yeah, she said, I just love here, old brother so-and-so preacher. He said, he's been gone for 3 years, lady. Where do you say you go? I mean, you know what? He's smart. He knew what she was saying.
Right.
Didn't add up.
Right.
She had a little red face, you know. And Rick said, I'd just like to invite you. Come over at Bethel over there. That's all you can do. I mean, they don't say shoot them.
Right.
But he said, I just like to invite you over there. But you know, she come across like, love the Lord. And Rick took a step up. He said, where are you going to church at? And I'm going to get a sign on my house. No demon manifestation allowed. I mean, I've done that. Done
right, right.
Careful now how I talk to people. I don't get another episode of that. But anyway, he took his stepfather. He said, where you go to church at? She said, so-and-so. And he said, amen. And she said, I just love to hear brother so-and-so preach. Rick said, he'd been there for 3 years. See what I mean? Well, that's kind of what the Lord's saying here. You know, a lot of people say they love the Lord. A lot of people say they live for God. But the Bible tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, Paul talking to Timothy, he said, till I come, give attendance. Does anybody know what attendance is?
Yes.
You go to school, Tegan, you got attendance on your grade card, perfect attendance. That means you're there every day.
Right.
That's kind of what Paul's talking about here.
Right.
Attendance, you know, attend.
Right.
And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see that day approaching. I wasn't actually expecting to see Sister Miranda here this morning because she looks so pale and light down there.
Yeah.
But I'm glad it's here.
Yeah.
That's what exhortation means. She encourages me by being here, and I miss her when she ain't here. Jonathan told David, he said, don't worry about coming. And David said, He said, I just won't show up. And Jonathan said, if you don't show up, you see me, then you'll be missed. Well, when you see Cynthia, I miss you. I love seeing you here.
Yeah.
And you know what? That's kind of what we do. We exhort one another. And not only that, he said, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So attendance is important. But he went on to say attendance to reading, attendance to exhortation, attendance to doctrine. Amen. We need to give some attendance. If you're the right kind of Christian, you'll attend. Amen.
Right.
And we need to have a little salt about us, because that's why we're not in heaven. That's why I wonder why I'm still here. I said, well, the Lord must want me to do something. Well, I'm supposed to put a little salt. I like eating, but everything seems like it tastes a little better with a little salt on it. You know, I salt to them, pork chops down, put a little pepper on them. Well, as a good Christian, we're kind of like the salt of the earth. And if we lose our Savior, now I ain't talking about our Savior Jesus Christ.
No.
But if we lose our saltness, you know, if there ain't no difference between us and somebody else, then we really should be taken home. We really have no significance.
Right.
But while we're in the world, we're the salt of the world. The world looks at us and they say, I'll tell you what, I took note they've been with Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's a Christian man. That's a Christian woman.
Yeah.
I can tell the difference in them, amen.
Right.
And not only said about our salt, he said we're the light of the world. Mm-hmm. All things going on right now, I don't condone, I'm against. But you know how they're going on? Because the light's getting low.
Yeah.
Churches used to be a resistance, used to be an opposition to darkness, but now the darkness is not just creeping in, the darkness is taking over.
Yes, it is.
Man, it don't take a long while to dispel darkness, so we must be just about burnt out. We must be about down to a flicker. But that's another thing a Christian needs to be. They need to be salty. They need to have some light, amen. Proverbs 29, verse 18 says, where there's no vision, the people perish. That ain't talking about your television. That's talking about, you know, having a burden or having, some kind of desire to get. I've got a man, Larry Vibbert. I'm trying to get him in church. And without that, you know, I fall down on my bedside, pray for him. I prayed for him last night. We had a prayer meeting over there. And even though I was tired, I still prayed. But without praying for him and without inviting him, one day he's going to die and go to hell because he's a lost man. I grown up with him. I known him back when he had red hair. His hair is snow white now from all the alcohol and stuff and all the abuse he's put himself through. But a working Christian, that's what I hope you are.
Yeah.
And not only a working Christian, but I hope you're a witnessing Christian.
Uh-huh.
In Mark chapter 5, verse 19, the Lord had cast out a legion of devils out of a man of Gadara, and he wanted to follow Jesus. And I tell you what, I got saved, I wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus told him instead, he said, go to your home, go to your friend, and tell them what great things the Lord has done. I love testimonies. I gave some here. I love to hear them myself.
Yeah.
All right, here you say, brother, you ain't going to believe what the Lord done for me. I say, please, tell me about it, amen. That's what the Lord said, tell what great things the Lord has done for you.
Yes.
See, when I tell you what great things the Lord has done for me, that's good, but it's not good for you. But when you tell me what great things the Lord has done for you, that's good for me, and good for you. And I just want you to know it goes both ways. We need to let the redeemed the Lord say so.
Uh-huh.
We need to testify. The Bible talked about Enoch had a testimony. And he left it behind that he pleased God. And God took him home. One day we'll leave behind some kind of testimony.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
A witnessing Christian. If you'll notice, the Lord told him to do that. Verse 20. He told him to go to his home, to his friends, and tell them what great things the Lord had done for him. If you'll notice verse 20, and he began to publish it in the capitalists how great things Jesus done for him. But he was a doer, not a hearer only, amen. In John chapter 4, you got a woman, a thirsty woman, and in verse 29, she says to the people of the city, come see a man that told me all things that I did. Is not this the Christ? Next verse 30, and said they came to him she said, come see a man.
Yeah.
And she brought the whole town down. Jesus told his disciples in John 4:35, look on the fields. They're white already, the harvest. John chapter 1, verse 41, Jesus has appeared, and Andrew, not only did he find Jesus, he went and found his own brother, Simon Peter, and said, we found the Lord, and brought him to Jesus. Jesus called him a rock, a little rock, be a stone. John 1:45, Philip finds Nathanael and said, come and see.
Yeah.
And let me say this, Noah, the one that built the ark, he got his family in the ark. He need to be a witnessing Christian. You need to be a willing Christian. The Lord said in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, the Lord said, who'll go for us? You know, God's always looking for someone to go.
Amen.
He said, who'll go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. You better be careful before you say that, because God will send you.
Right.
He jumped up and opened his mouth. And the Lord said, go. And being a Baptist, he said, Lord, how long shall I go? And the Lord answered him, until the city be wasted and the land be utterly desolate, we need to keep going for God. Be a witnessing.
Right.
Be a willing
right.
Christian. Be a witnessing Christian. Be a working Christian. And Saul, in Acts chapter 9, verse 1, Saul's a threatening man. He's threatening Christians. In Acts chapter 9, verse number 20, he's a preaching Christian. Straightway, he preached Christ. He didn't waste no time. Straightway means immediately. He started proclaiming, hey, I'm not threatening no more. I've been saved. I met him. Amen.
Yeah.
Be a willing. Be a working. Be a witnessing. In Luke 14, the Lord gives a parable here. I never really thought about it like this. But I guess you could use it in this context, not do no damage to the Scripture. But in Luke 14, I'm going to turn there real quick, because I'm going to tell you why I thought about this. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and begged me. Now I'm sitting there thinking about a preacher. God gave him a message and it's burning in his heart. And you know, he's wanting to deliver that message. He wants to see what God's going to do when he delivers that message. And I know that's really not what this is talking about, but I also see where it could actually apply. So you can say that this was a preacher, and he got a sermon together, and he invited many, and verse 17, which kind of pictures the church, he said his, you can say his members, but he sent his servants at supper time or church time to go say to them that we're bidding, come! For all things are now ready. You ever try to get anybody to come to church? Well, it's not the most joyous thing, but we need to do it. And we'll get to that here in a minute. But, you know, that's really not what this is talking about, but it can be used in that way, and I've heard it. But, you know, he's inviting people to come to a meal. And that's kind of like what a message is, like sitting down to a good meal. I'm spiritual, I got to be fed. I'm physical, I got to be fed. I don't want to neglect either one of them. Somebody said, which one will do the best? The one you feed the most, that's which one will. I've met some skinny Christians, spiritually, man. I mean, they didn't know enough Bible, blow their nose. But anyway, he says, go tell them to come! It's church time! Or he calls it supper time. But if you say go out, it's church time, tell them to come. But notice verse 18, they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. Don't go out on visitation. You talking about breaking your heart. The dog's sick. And listen, I ain't trying to throw no rocks here. But people will use any excuse, just like these right here gave excuses for not coming. Be careful with those excuses. God may hold it against you. And you know what? I've got enough against me without having to do a list, if you know what I mean. And anyway, they all began to make excuse. And here the preacher is, he's got God's message. He can't get nobody to show up. Verse 16, verse 17, he said it's church time. Verse 23, he said, well, go out and invite some others. He said, go out in the highways and hedges, compel them to come in that my house may be filled. You look at verse 24, They missed it. You know what happens when people miss a good service? They say, boy, I wish I'd been there.
Yeah, right.
You get to hear about it, but you know, it's not as good as being there.
Right.
You hear about somebody been... I'll give you a for instance here. It's really bad. My cousin, Barry, my drinking buddy, I mentioned my testimony there, Brother Ed. My cousin, he had a little boy up to age, and I kept telling him, I said, Barry, it ain't going to be long, Anthony. He's going to get saved. And Barry was going to church, but he wasn't going faithful. He was kind of like my car, missed a little every now and then. But anyway, just what happened, he missed his service, and Anthony got saved. And even though his son got saved, he missed being there. And it beat on him pretty good. I said, well, at least your son's saved, Barry. Anyway, they ain't doing that. I'm trying to cover him a little bit. I said, at least he got saved.
Yeah, that's right.
But you know what? You never know what you miss when you
get saved. Right.
Man, I don't want to miss nothing.
No.
I'm glad, praise God, I got it all in Him. I'm complete in Him. I can have all I want. I can get His virtues all over Him.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, poor Barry, he never did get over that. That kind of haunted him. That he wasn't there when his little boy Anthony come up there and gave his heart to Jesus. Well, you never know. And you end up saying, boy, I wish I'd been here.
That's right.
And if we're not careful, our ears will be dull of hearing. If we're not careful, our love will wax cold. I've got one last point, but before I give that last point, I'll tell you what, I'll tell this after this last point. Let me do that. What kind of Christian are you? You need to be a working Christian. You need to be a witnessing Christian. You need to be a willing Christian. And the last point, you need to be a warning Christian. Genesis 19, verse 14. Those angels told Lot, said, if you got in this city, get them out. God's going to destroy this place. And he went to his two son-in-laws. Genesis 19, 14. And he said, out of this place, the Lord's going to destroy it. And they just kind of took him for a joke. They didn't take him seriously. They didn't heed that warning. But at least Lot warned them. And the Bible tells us, if we don't warn people, that God will require their blood at our hand. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 18. But I will say this about Lot. He did try.
Right.
Then I will say another thing about Lot. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 8 calls Lot a righteous man. He might not have been perfect. He might not have been where he should have been. And he shouldn't have been there. The Bible tells us not to dwell there, but he did. But I'll tell you what, the Bible did call him a righteous man.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the last thing I want to say here. We need to be a warning Christian.
Yes,
we need to be a willing Christian.
Right.
We need to be a working Christian. Guy I work with is, I shouldn't mention his name, so I won't. Guy I work with gave me a sad commentary today. He's telling about his best friend. He said, Eddie, my best friend, his daughter took her life right there in the front yard of the house. And I said, that's sad. He said, no, I'll tell you what's sad. He said, she called me out here at work. And I looked at my phone. And I thought, I'll get it some other time.
Mm-hmm.
Wonder what a difference it would have made if he had took that call.
That's right, right.
This is a young girl. You know, we messed up and else said, you really messed up when you're young.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you ain't really got it figured out. You know, it was always going to be a tomorrow. You could get better. But with him not taking her call, she took her life.
Mm.
And he told me that, and I said, I'll be praying for you. And he said, this is my friend. And I said, I'll be praying for him. That's just like us.
That's right.
We need to understand there's hearts and people out there.
Right.
There's people that need help out there.
Right. That's right.
And if we're not the right kind of Christian, we'll do like this guy do, say,
right.
It's not urgent.
Yeah.
It was urgent.
Yes, it was.
You know, the aftermath of that, that's going to eat at him like a cancer. We need to make sure that doesn't happen with us.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But ain't nothing you can do about what's going to happen.
No, you ain't.
Well, let's not remember what God left us here.
Uh-huh.
Let's pick up a phone. You know, I've been asleep before and God put somebody on my heart and I've got out of bed. I didn't even know how to pray about them, but God put them on my heart so much money, I fell down my bed and I said, Lord, don't know what's going on, but I just want to lift them up in prayer and ask to help them.
That's right.
I don't know.
Right.
And we don't, none of us know. We see through a glass darkly, and for lack of better words, we're so busy, it seems like we don't have time to do anything.
Right.
When I was sleeping, I love to sleep, Karen, but the Lord put this person on my heart, and I got up and I just fell down there and prayed for them.
Right.
Well, we got to do something.
Yeah,
that's right. My reasonable service. Right. I got down and I prayed. I didn't know why God put them on my heart. But I'll tell you what, I didn't ignore it. I prayed about it. I said, Lord, help them, whatever's going on. Help them with it. We can do that. And these two verses says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You got to do it.
Yeah. Yes.
A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye rather transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God.
Yeah.
You know, when you come to church this morning, you was reminded of some things. Man, I was reminded how good Daddy could sing. Man, I got to hear it. I was reminded how good Carolyn could sing, Jerry could sing. Got to shout a little bit. Woo!
Amen.
Got the joy of that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having to hear about that after the fact? Boy, you would have been there and heard that. Boy, that was good.
Right.
And you know, even though I've even heard recordings, it's still good if it wasn't as good as being there.
Right.
You were right.
I don't want to miss out on nothing. I want to be there.
That's right.
Amen. I'm glad. Praise God. God don't withhold any good thing from us. But you gotta be there, amen.
Right.
Amen.
I'm like a sponge. I like to soak it up. I need that stuff. But be a working Christian. Be a witnessing Christian. Be a willing Christian. And be a witnessing Christian. I don't know if you're any of those, but I'll tell you that's what kind of Christian that I hope you are. Because that's what kind of Christian God needs.
Right.
That's what kind of Christian, boy, gets the job done.
Yeah.
Some people give up, and some people don't.
That's right.
I remember one time I was out door knocking, Brother Mitchell, and I was over there. I don't know the name of the road, but I work at Carol Nicely Drive right across from Mitchell Road, and there's a propane place right there as you go into that road, and some kind of mechanic shop down there on the right. Anyway, we was going down that road, and I knocked on this house. I knocked on the front door, Joanne, and nobody answered. And I knocked again. Man, I'm pretty determined. I will not be denied. I knocked again. Nobody answered. I've done something I've never done before in my life. I went to the back of that house, knocked on the back door. And a lady comes to the door. I said, ma'am, we're out witnessing. We're out inviting people to church. I'd like to invite you to church. You know what that lady told me? She said, the reason I didn't answer that door, she said I was in the floor in the kitchen with a knife held up to my chest trying to give enough iron to take my life. She said, I was trying to just commit suicide and you was knocking on my front door and I was hoping you'd go away. I invested in that woman. I said, I just want you to know Jesus loves you no matter how bad it is. He can help you.
That's right.
She was in the floor in the kitchen with a butcher knife. She was trying to get up enough nerve to take her life. And old stupid Brother Eddie's knocking on the front door.
Right.
And I beat it down.
Bless you.
And then went around to the back door and found out why she didn't come to the front door.
Right.
Listen, there is a cause. That's why we're here.
Right.
Let's be the right kind of Christian.
Right.
Oh, somebody say, hey, sure would like for you to come to church. Like to invite you. Hey, pass out a track every now and then. Done that funeral yesterday. And, you know, I can't save them, but I'm like a compass. I'm pointing them to the one that can.
Yeah. Amen.
What kind of Christian are you? Father, we thank you for the privilege. Preach your word, Lord. I know we're in the Laodicean day. I know, Father, Lord, we're content. I know, Lord, we're not like the ones that turned the world upside down. But, Lord, we're still here. I pray, God, you'll help us, Lord. I pray you'll help us, Lord, to find that one that's near his tail. Help us, Lord, I pray, to stand between them and that place of the damned. Help us somehow prevail. Get them to Calvary, get them saved. Lord, forgive us, I pray, of our failures. I pray, Lord, you would not give up on us. I pray, God, you'd put it in our heart, Lord, a desire to win souls, a desire, Lord, to welcome people, invite people to church. Lord, I've stopped on the side of the highway many times, tried to help people, and I've done my best. Lord, you're the one that can truly help all. And I pray you'll help us be good ambassadors of you. And whatever, Lord, you need us to do, I pray we'll be willing to do it. We'll ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask everybody to stand, and Brother Jerry, please. Sister Sharon. Okay, that works for me. Just got a special here for you. And you know, I don't know how the message went to you, but I promise you this, it probably went to you different than it went to me. If there's something you need to do, right now would be a good time to do that. And maybe you might want to come in and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I want you to forgive me. I want you to help me. I know I've got something I'm supposed to be doing. Jesus told his mother at the age of 12 years old. He said, know ye not, I must be about my Father's business. Let's get busy for God.
You know, the song we're fixing to do is, you know, all you got to do is reach out your hand. He's got that hand out there for you.
Amen.
And you're never alone. He's always holding out his hand. And this song is kind of like that. But y'all just listen to how we sing it.
Bless the Lord. Bless.
Bye.
say something that I forgot to say. It's important. I was going to work one night, and I stopped by a consumer's filling station there, a little red-headed boy, John. Leather jacket, Harley Davidson motorcycle. He come out there and put gas in my Ford pickup truck. The Lord spoke to my heart and said, I want you to witness to John. And I'm good Baptist, you know, so I'm trying to find the right track for John. And I go through my stash of tracks. I go through my glove thing there in between the seats, whatever you call that console thing. And I find the track. Looks like it's a good fitting track for a young boy. I think he's 18 years old. And I start walking towards John. And as I get to him, I go, and if I could get a word out, a man walked between the gas pumps. Between me and John started talking to him. I thought, I'll talk to him next time. He died that night.
Oh,
that night. Went to a party. I hate to add to this message, but he went to a party that night and got to drinking. And he had a gun. And his girlfriend said, John, put that gun away before you hurt somebody. He said, it ain't loaded and blowed his brains out. But God told me, anyway, go back there and talk to John about his soul. I was willing to do it. I just didn't understand how urgent it was.
Right.
Put that in mind with this message. If anybody got anything on your heart, I had to throw that in there because I should have mentioned that.
Brother Eddie, I want to thank the Lord for being here today.